Thank you guys for helping out with that. Certainly live in a day we need men to rise up and stand for truth. There's a lot of men that are not standing for truth, and it's time that we men be willing to stand, lead our homes, lead our families, lead our churches, lead our country, stand up for the things of the Lord and do right. There's a lot of people not standing up these days, but we need to stand up and do right. Let's go ahead and start off in James chapter 1. Our main place that we're going to go to is in James chapter 5. But if you can go to James chapter 1 just to get started here. The book of James. I've always loved James. James is a very practical book. So practical to us. It hits us in so many different places of our lives that we need. And so the book of James, James chapter 1, I'm just going to introduce a topic to you. Then we're going to go to another place in James to really get the meat of what we need today. And then we'll come right back here and conclude with James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Okay, so James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Let me go ahead and read those for you. James 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This morning I would like us to look at the idea of patience. Now, having read that, I don't know if you followed, but look at those verses again. My brethren, we're talking to a group of people that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Those people that have recognized that they're on their way to hell because of their sin. They have recognized that Jesus did the work on the cross to save them from their sin. They have placed their dependence upon His work and not their own. And these people, as they've called on the name of the Lord, these people are what some people call saved. They're believers. They are the brethren that are here. Okay, so here James is speaking to a group of people that are believers. They've placed their faith and trust in Jesus. What does he say to this group of believers? He says, my brethren, count or to consider all that you go through joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The various trials that you go through in life, we're supposed to count them as joy. Now, I don't know about you, but that is odd a little bit, because when bad things, if I could put it that way, when things that are not desirable come into my life, the last thing I'm thinking about is have joy about those things. Count it all joy. Consider my life joyful when tough times come. But that's what he's saying here, is he's counted joy. Why? Why should we do that? He says, I want you to know something, understand something, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, honestly, what's happening is when difficult times come, your faith is being tested. You say, I don't know how I can make it through this. I don't know how I can survive. I don't know how I can put up with this. I don't know what to do. We have all kinds of questions when these trials come, and that's what makes them trials, because they're tough times. We don't know what's going on, but here James says, know this. Understand this. Count it that this is true, knowing that the trying of your faith, those difficult things that are going through, that the trying of your faith, it's working patience. Well, I would say that when difficult things are coming, yeah, it's testing my patience. But here he doesn't say it's just testing it, it's working it. It's producing, it's going towards an end, it's trying to get somewhere in your life, it's working towards something. That the trying of your faith, or these difficult times, are working patience. And then notice verse 4, he says, but let patience, that's the dealing with all these trials, let that patience have her perfect work. In other words, let it work, let patience work, go ahead and be patient, because patience, if we could make patience a person here, he or she is doing something in our lives, but let patience have her perfect work, that, and here's the end, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now let me describe that last verse, that patience is going to do a maturing work, that you would be perfect. That word perfect is not a word of means you're never going to do anything wrong. You're going to be a perfect person. Guess what? We're not perfect people. We're not going to be perfect. He's not saying that. That word is maturing. That ye may be spiritually mature. That ye may be perfect and entire. That word is completeness. So that you would get spiritually mature, that you would be a complete and well-rounded individual for the Lord. And he says, wanting or lacking in nothing. I don't know about you, but I would love to be that kind of a person. Well, I'll never get there without patience. And so this morning, I want to look at how we can get patience, or what about patience is so important. I trust it will be a blessing to you. Would you take your Bibles now? You're in James chapter 1, and go four chapters later to chapter 5. So take your Bible and go to James chapter 5. It should be just a couple pages for you. Go to James chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. I'm not going to spend too much time, but there's about one key principle from each one of these verses that I want you to see this morning concerning patience. So let me ask you a question. Are you a patient person? Do you feel like you're patient? Some of you would say, oh yeah, I'm patient. Some of you would say, I am not patient. I struggle waiting for things. I struggle when I'm going through things and it keeps going and going, and I really have a tough time with patience. I would say all of us in certain times or things in our life have different maybe elements of patience. I would say you could be patient in one thing and not patient in another thing. And that's the way we are. But are you a patient person? Do you need to develop patience? Now in James chapter 1, we understood that patience is important so that we can be the kind of people that God wants us to be. Patience is very important. And so we're going to look at this idea of patience and how some things that we can understand concerning patience. All right, James chapter 5, and let's go ahead and look at these few verses here. James chapter 5, and let me go ahead and start in verse 7. Notice he says, James is writing, and he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." God, would you help us to understand patience today? In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray, amen. Are you a patient person? Patience is difficult to develop. Why? Because we're not patient. We want certain things. And I mentioned early on in the service that we live in a society that doesn't really help us with our patience, because nowadays we can get things sooner and sooner and sooner. And I don't know, I mean, it seems like soon we're going to be able to almost be able to click our fingers and get things. You know, we have Amazon, you know, Prime now, and some of you are like, I don't order everything on Amazon, I'm going to go to the store. And that's your prerogative. We do. Some people order everything off of Amazon, and you do that. But I remember that ordering things used to take a long time. Now it's faster and faster. And some of you use that, and some of your reasoning is because I can order it, and it can be at my doorstep in some cases, even the next day. Have you ever had that happen? You order something and it's there. And it's like, how did that happen? There must be a warehouse right down the road from me. And there maybe is, okay? And we get things. Now, some places don't get them. I can tell you one thing, Amazon Prime in Rock Springs, Wyoming, where my parents live on the cattle ranch, okay? Prime, I think those people are wasting their money, because there's nothing Prime about it, because it would take time. Now, probably faster than if you just order from some other place. I remember years ago, Melissa and I were talking, and it had just come out. Now, they haven't still, I don't know when it's going to come out, but Amazon was coming out with this, and there was some sort of a commercial that they were going to have these drones that were going to be able to pick up these boxes and fly them to your doorstep. Do you guys remember some of that going around for a little bit? And I'm sure that they're trying to get things to where they can do that. And there's probably more progress in that than what we know. But I remember that there was this push that you know, people can just do what they do and they can order their whatever, and within a certain amount of window of time, and we're talking about minutes or hours, that this box would be delivered from a drone, you know, flying through the air. And I don't understand the logistics of necessarily how they would do that today. I could just picture, it seems like mass chaos in the air. You know, like, oh, there's my package, you know. But Amazon Prime. But I remember this day, Melissa and I were there in the house, and we were there, I think the kids were in bed, and we were there sitting in the room, and we were watching this. Somebody sent us this Amazon Prime or whatever, this new delivery. And we were there, and we were just kind of looking at this little clip, and we're thinking, what in the world? And, you know, this drone is flying around, and then it comes and sets the package right on the door, and these couple, you know, look at each other, and they're so happy because they had things just like that. And wouldn't you know, we're doing that, and we're there in the room, and we're watching this drone fly around, and the little commercial or whatever it was ended, and wouldn't you know, the next thing that we heard was, and we looked at each other like, what? It was a stink bug flying around our bedroom. We honestly thought that Amazon Prime had come. But it was, no, we didn't, but it was very funny, you know. I mean, it was like, I mean, you're thinking through this thing, and you're like, wow, you know, it's like, what did we order? And there it was. But, you know, we live in a world today that is so on demand, isn't it? I mean, really, you want it and you can get it. And the world is making ways to do that. And I think that it is not necessarily, I mean, it's nice and convenient sometimes, but it certainly is not helping us develop patience, because we don't have to have patience. And now we get upset when the two-day delivery doesn't come in 2 days. I mean, have you noticed that? Now, I'm not saying that, I mean, if they advertise it, they ought to do it. But the fact of the matter is I can't imagine in bygone days being, you know, bothered that something came in 3 days. You know, it used to be that 3 days was a fast thing. You know, sometimes you'd order something and you would wait a long time. Now it's, you know, we get bothered if it doesn't come. I mean, you can get on and you can track the package to where you know it's going to be in the morning. Why isn't it here in the morning? You know, what's going on? And we don't have an idea of what it means to have patience these days, because there's so much at our fingertips on demand that we can request a certain thing. Information, right? You used to have to pull out Rand McNally's Atlas to figure out, you know, how you would have to track your whole, you know, you're going to another state and you're going to do this, and you would have everything planned out. You don't have to do that anymore. You have to just put, here's where I'm at and here's where I'm going, press go, and there it is. One of these days we're going to be able to press go and we're going to be there. Well, maybe not. I don't know about that one. But our world is getting to be on demand. Information. We used to have to go to the library and check out a book and study to understand about a certain thing. And now we can speak into a device and it will tell us what we need to know about a certain person, about a certain date of when this happened, or some information. And right there, within 10 seconds, we've got the information and we know and we're satisfied to move on. You get what I'm talking about? We live in a day where we don't have to have hardly patience for anything, but everything doesn't revolve around a button, though. And there are some things that we have to wait for. Some of you are struggling because you're waiting physically. There's physical infirmities that you go through, and although you can maybe find a remedy online, you can't just get better instantly. And it takes patience. Some of you have a relationship or social things that you go through, and although it might be nice to be able to push a button and now the relationship with your husband is restored, that doesn't work. And what is required is patience. And for some of us, we would love the Lord to return today. I would. I would love the Lord to come back today and to go be in the presence of the Lord. But I don't have the option of pushing a button and making it happen. I can assure you that if I had a button right here that I could push, that we could all go to heaven, I'd push it. It would be a blessing to go and to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, in context, this is the issue at hand, is dealing with people, and he's talking about that soon they were going to be able to go and to be with the Lord, and to be with him, and live in eternity with him. And here within this, he's talking about be patient because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But he's saying, he's telling these people that they need to learn patience. Now, within the context of being patient for the return of the Lord, there's some lessons on what it means to be patient. And that's what I want to look at. Not so much of the message is not on we need to be patient for the Lord's return or to die so we can be with him in heaven, but what about patience in our lives? And I think the passage really hits it well as we learn about patience. So James chapter 5. And as we just read through that, we saw patience was brought up many times, even in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, at the coming of the Lord. So he says, be patient. I want us to look at verse 7 to start off with, and we have a number of things concerning patience. First of all, I want you to see that patience is optimistically waiting for an end result. There's an end, there's a focus there. There's a direction. Maybe I should say there's an expectation. Patience involves expectation, looking for something. Notice verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Now, this verse is talking about a farmer. He says the husbandman, we understand as the person that is a farmer. In our area that we live in Lancaster County here, in Pennsylvania, we understand somewhat the idea of farming. Let me ask you a question. Does a farmer have to develop patience? Do farmers have the ability to press a button like I've talked about, and all of a sudden the corn kernel that they planted all of a sudden is a full stalk and ready to harvest? Is that the way it works? It doesn't work. And if a farmer is not patient, he's really going to struggle for the amount of time, the days, the weeks, the months that it takes for that corn stalk to grow and develop so that there's that corn on the cob there that they can either eat or they can use for whatever they use it for. But he's got to develop patience. Now, did you notice, though, that this farmer is eagerly anticipating, he is expecting this thing to grow. He doesn't sit around and say, boy, I really hope that something happens. He already expects it. Because in truth, now we know that there are variables that you could plant something and it doesn't grow. I've tried some of those things. I've planted something and, you know, 10 months later, it's still the same little thing that I put in the ground. It doesn't always work. But for the most part, is there a law in nature that when you plant something, it will grow? What's the answer? Yes, there's going to... If everything goes okay, there's going to be growth. There's going to be a truth that happens. When we develop our patience, we've got to be people that are expecting God to do something, expecting growth, expecting there to be an outcome. In fact, that's a big part of patience. If I'm a person of patience, I am eagerly expecting God to do something. I am looking for the time when there's going to be something that I desired. And in patience, I'm going to be willing to wait. This farmer was willing to wait. He said, behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. You know, a farmer can't wait. But he's willing to. He struggles. He would love to see that corn come up, but it's a process, and that farmer understands that there's a process. Notice the words, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. There's a desire there. There's something. He's excited about that. He's excited about an end until he receive the early and latter rain. He is expecting it. I grew up in the state of Wyoming. There's not a whole lot in Wyoming to go see. If you want to go out and see nothing, that's a good place to go. If you want to, but there are some mountains, there's some things. And one of the, of course, the highlights, if I could say hot spots in Wyoming, would be Yellowstone National Park there. And that is a tremendous place to go, by the way, if you ever have an opportunity to get out there. It's a beautiful place to go. It doesn't totally represent the state of Wyoming. Where I grew up, it doesn't look anything like it, okay? But Yellowstone is a beautiful place, a wonderful place, and there's a lot of neat things that happen there. Some of you are very familiar with something that happens out there very regularly, on time, all the time. Okay? And you know that to be Old Faithful, okay? Is there a reason why they call this geyser Old Faithful? Yeah, because it is faithful, and it's old, okay? It's been going on for a long time. It is faithful, and I don't even have the numbers. I don't know how often. Some of you out here might know. It's my home state, and I don't know. But I know every once in a while, Old Faithful. Now, could something happen and not erupt? We know that it could. Something could happen, and it might not. We know that it could, and it could be much larger than what it's ever been. We don't really know. But on the ground level idea of this, it is a truth that you can count on, at least at this time, you can count on Old Faithful to go at a certain time, right? Old Faithful at a certain time is going to happen. And so they count down and they tell you, and here it goes, and everybody watches, and then Old Faithful erupts and it goes. All the other ones on the, you know, in the park there, they're not so faithful because they do different things. But Old Faithful is faithful. In a truth, it's going to happen. Patience is understanding that it's going to happen. It's taking truth and saying, okay, truth is there, and God has given us truth, and I'm gonna patiently wait for this. A person that's going to visit Yellowstone and wanting to see the geysers that go there, and there is Old Faithful that is standing there watching the clock and has got to get to the next thing, is going to struggle with Old Faithful because it's going to be a little bit of a time. I've got to wait for this. I can better do something with my time. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to look for something else that's going to go, and they'll probably find something else, but they're going to struggle with that. A patient person is going to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to wait this one out. But I'm trusting in what's going to happen. Now, would people wait if it was only a possibility? Some would. Some would not. But when they know that it's going to happen, they faithfully and patiently wait for what is expected. The fruit, if I could say in this illustration, is going to come. They're waiting for the truth. They're waiting for the facts. This is going to erupt in 22 more minutes, and I'm going to wait here. I'm going to be patient, and then all of a sudden, it's going to come. Patience is optimistically waiting for the end results. I'm willing to stick it out. I'm willing to stay around because I'm expecting something to happen. Remember back in the Old Testament, God had promised Abraham what? He had promised him a son. Did Abraham have to wait a long time for that son? Do you think that Abraham could have, if he would not have been patient, could have said, you know what, I've waited too long, I need to go do something else? Could he have said that? Did he? One time he did. Okay. In fact, there was a couple times that he took matters into his own hands and he decided through another lady to have a son. And I'll tell you what, it turned around to hurt him. It still is. It still is. The problem in the Middle East comes from an individual that wasn't being patient. Question. Patience. Is it a big deal? Just ask Abraham. The big deal. Of course, we have Isaac and Ishmael there and the struggle that would be. The struggle that would continue on and go there. But Abraham, you know what? But Abraham, for the most part, was a faithful individual. He didn't always show that faithfulness, and that he was impatient at certain times, and he took matters into his own hands, you know, once or twice. But God produced, and Isaac was born at a certain time. But you see, Abraham had his eyes set and fixed upon some truth that God had given. He said, I'm going to do this. And Abraham counted it as truth, and he was going to wait. There would be some fruit that comes. You know, same thing with a farmer. When he plants, he's fully expecting that there's going to be something that is going to come. And in here in this passage, the coming of the Lord. Can I tell you, even though we're not preaching on that this morning, God said he was going to return. Question, is that truth? Is that truth that Jesus is going to come in the clouds to take us back to be with him? Is that truth? It's what the Word of God says. There's the truth. Then you know what we ought to do? We ought to be patient, fully expecting that God is going to bring it about. Being a patient person is looking for the end result and being optimistic about it. I am waiting for God's truth. Now, in your life, you are waiting for things. Now, some things we don't know, do we? You know what? You might have a disease. And I'm sorry, I cannot tell you that God for sure is going to take that away. In some cases, He doesn't. Some of you might have financial burdens, and I can tell you that God will take care of your needs as you give to Him, but I cannot tell you that one day you are going to be wealthy. I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that that son or daughter that you have, that you've been praying for years, to accept Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, that they can be saved and on their way to heaven. I cannot tell you, even though I believe that God would have them to be saved, I cannot tell you for sure if they will accept Jesus Christ, as it is an individual choice of dependence. I cannot tell you if that for sure is going to happen, but my friend, patience would tell us that we expect God to do His perfect work, that God is going to do the very best, and we trust Him at it, and we expect Him to do it. God is going to do whatever in your physical life for you for the very best. You can count on it because God said He would. You can count on it in your financial situations. That is, you honor God with your finances, God is going to take care of your needs. But He might not ever make you rich, but God will be faithful to you with your finances. And I can tell you that individual that you're praying for, or that coworker that needs to be saved, that you're praying for, that God is going to do His work so that they have an opportunity to trust Christ. He will do it whether or not they trust Him. God is going to do His work. And if we're patient, we need to be faithfully expecting God to do His work. My friends, that is patience. The opposite is very true. It's not patient when we say, oh, God's probably not going to do this. I've waited for a long time. He's probably just not going to do it. My friend, I want to encourage you. You need to be patient. Trust God. The Bible says, and be not weary in well-doing, for ye shall reap. For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. You know what that's saying? Be patient. Be patient. God has given to us certain things in life. Some things we know, some things we don't know. But whatever God has given that we know, folks, I want to tell you something. You can be patient and expect it to come. God wants us to be patient. And so patience is optimistically waiting for an end result. Hebrews chapter 12 says, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to have the right goal. We need to have the right perspective. If God has spoken, if God has directed, we need to wait for it. Remember, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. He said, He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There's the answer. Wait. Be patient. Secondly, let's look at verse 8. Second, patience is not budging. Stick in your ground. He says in the next verse, James chapter 5 and verse 8, Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So first is, you know, counting on, looking forward to the truth, but He says, don't budge. Don't budge. Isn't it easy to be expecting something and after time you start to budge? You start to, okay, well, I didn't mean this quite so much, maybe, and we start to retract. We start to move our ground. We start to change things. We start to compromise certain things because, wow, He hasn't been coming for a long, you know, He said this, but He's not. So, well, I guess it would be okay to go ahead and do this. You remember the story when Moses was up on the mountain and is receiving God's commands? What were the people down below doing? In the beginning, what were they doing? Waiting. They were waiting. They were standing there waiting. Moses is going up to hear from God, and he says, wait here, and I'm going to come back. And so these people are just kind of burning time, waiting for Moses to come down and declare them the truth of the Lord, and they're waiting. Were they patient? They were not patient. In fact, they said, you know what? Moses is supposed to come down with God's word. God's supposed to give Himself to us. But God's not given Himself to us. And so what did they do? They started thinking, I wonder what else. And that, by the way, is a dangerous thing to do, is start thinking and stop focusing on what God has said. That was the first point, is focus on and count on it. Moses is coming back. He said He would. They should have been, no, we're not going to do anything else because Moses said He's going to come back. This is what's going to happen. He's going to come back, and we're waiting for that. But as we get to this next, you know, point, they were sitting and they decided to budge, didn't they? They did. They moved. They said, well, this is what was told us. This is what we're waiting for. But it's not happening. So even though this is the right thing, we're going to move over here because that's not happening and we're going to do this. Have you ever done that before? Given up on the Lord, changed things, compromised, kind of like Abraham did. Remember, God told Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son. Was that truth? Yeah, it was. He told them. When God speaks, it's His truth. He told them. Could they count on it to happen? What's the answer? Yes, because God said it would happen. But they got to looking at each other one day and said, what's happening? We're getting old. There's no way that a son can come. What could we do? Well, I've got a servant over here. I could make him kind of like my hired son. Well, no, maybe I won't do that. They had the thought, by the way. Well, maybe that's not. Well, what else could we do? And Sarah said, well, I have a handmaid here. You know, she's my helper, but she's a lot younger than I am. And maybe she could have you a son. And she's mine. Now, in the thinking, are they already budging? God told who that they were going to give them a son? Abraham and Sarah is his wife. You're going to have a son. Already in their mind, they started budging because they started thinking, is there something that we can do? By the way, as soon as we start coming up with alternative things in our minds, we're already retreating. Have you ever done that? You're praying for something. God, would you do this? And you're full of faith and you're expecting God to do it. But after a certain amount of time, you start thinking, should we come up with plan B? Right? I've done it so many times. So many times. And I think, well, I really believe God said this, but there must be a plan B out there. And I start thinking that way. I start going that direction. I start planning. That's exactly what Abraham and Isaac were doing there. They're standing there and they're looking at each other and they think, well, what about Eliezer the servant? You know what? Maybe he would just make a son. Maybe he can be. Maybe God just wanted. Is that what God told him? No, he did not say you're just going to adopt a son that was a servant. That was not even anything to consider. But then they, you know, talk, and Sarah says, well, I've got a handmaid here that you could take, and maybe, you know, you could be with her and have a child, and that will be our son. Well, okay, fine and all, that could happen, but is that what God said? No, but they're taking matters into their own hands, and they're compromising. See, what they're doing with my funny words that I use, they're budging, okay? They're stepping back and they're saying, well, I'm not seeing this. And so we've got to help God out here. And we've got to step in and do it. Have you ever budged? Have you ever felt like you needed to try to help God out? Do what He said He was going to do. My friends, that's not patience. God is wanting and waiting for you just to say, you just wait. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to manipulate. You don't need to. Have you ever needed some? Maybe you needed money for something and you didn't know how God was going to supply. You knew God could supply. Kind of. And in the beginning days, you trusted Him. And you said, my God shall supply all my needs. You know, the book of Philippians tells us that. In the beginning days, you were very faithful and patient and waiting. But then when it didn't happen and the time of due date came, you started thinking in your mind of how you could manipulate a little bit and help God out. And the only way you thought, well, I have this, I could do this. And then God took that opportunity away and said, well, okay, that's not going to happen. And then you thought, well, maybe so. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I'll say something to somebody else. If they hear my need, maybe that the need could be met. And we think, no, I ought not do that. I ought not help God out. And we wait and wait and wait. And then finally we end up telling that person, and lo and behold, something happens. Now, my friend, I want to tell you something. When that happens, if it's supplied, it's still from God. Okay? It's still from God. But sometimes we're not patient and we feel like we've got to do the work to get the ball rolling on certain things, and we take matters into our own hands. That's exactly what Abraham did. And I want to tell you, Ishmael was not the blessed one that Abraham was promised. And he budged in what happened. And it was an expensive budging, if I could say it that way. there it was not good for them. And instead, they moved. Now look at James chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, be also patient, establish your hearts. That word establish is to make firm, to fix. Don't move in your heart. Don't move. And by the way, when we see heart in the Bible, it's not our beating heart inside. It's our feelings and emotions inside. In other words, don't budge with your emotions and feelings. You stay firm. Stay firm in your emotions and feelings. Your treasures and values. Stay firm with what you treasure and value. If you know it's the right thing, then you stick with it. Don't compromise with your values and treasures. Your thoughts are part of our heart, as a man thinketh in his heart. Our thoughts. Don't budge in your thoughts. Don't give way to, maybe God didn't mean that, or maybe we could. No, don't budge in your feelings and your emotions. Don't budge in your values and treasures. Don't budge in your thoughts. Don't budge in your will and your decisions that are made. Don't establish your heart. We are so wavering people, aren't we? When things don't come, we start to plan. We start to go to plan B. You know, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with having alternative plans unless God's told us that A was right. Does that make sense? I don't know everything that's going to happen, and you don't either. But I'll say this, if God has spoken, then that's all we need to worry about. We don't need to come up with plan B, C, D, or E, or F, sometimes like we do. We've got to be very careful not to be tempted to waver in our thoughts. We are so prone to wavering. I'm minded of Ruth. You remember her struggle that she had, and she could have returned home, and Naomi said, just go home. And Orpah, her sister, went home. But Ruth was saying, no, I'm going to stick this one out. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, and she left speaking unto her. She was steadfastly minded. In other words, she said, I'm not budging. I am going to do this. Now, this is not budging with things that we ought to budge with. This is with our trust in the Lord. God said this, I am going to stick with it. It's called patience, being patient with what God has given to you. God has promised to provide for your needs. God has promised to protect you. God has promised to give you His very best. God has promised to bring you to a place where you can be spiritually mature and entire, wanting nothing. Patience defends against being distracted with what God has said. I like what Psalm 112, verse 7 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Question before we move on, is your heart fixed on what God has given? God said this. My friends, some of you worry and fear that when you go to bed, you lay there and you worry, am I really saved? Am I really on my way to heaven? My friend, I want to tell you something. God said that he who comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. God says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And God says that no man shall ever pluck thee out of my Father's hand. If you in life have come to trust Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter what your feelings, your emotions, your values, or treasures, it doesn't matter those things, they're not going to change the truth. And so you need to adjust your emotions, feelings, values, treasures, your thoughts to those things and say, this is what God said, and this is, I'm sticking with it, and I'm going to be patient for it. God said it. Don't move away from that. God said it, and that is the end. Number three, patience is not getting frustrated with others. Look at James 5, verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Now, that verse says a lot that we're not going to all get into, but can I tell you this? A lot of times when we're not patient with God, we're not patient with other people. And the reason why we're not patient with other people is because we're not patient with God. You realize when we're frustrated with other people is because we're really frustrated with God. This person's not trusting the Lord. That's exactly what's happening here, is we take out our lack of patience on other people because we want it, and these people are, this everything's getting in the way, and so we take it out. Do you realize when you're wanting results from the doctor and the doctor's not given, it's not necessarily the situation with the doctor. It could be because the Lord has not given to them, but instead we take it out on the doctor and we get upset at them. We've got to be very careful to grudge against other people when we should just be trusting in the Lord. God, you haven't allowed this to happen yet. I've got to trust you. And so we have a tendency to get frustrated with other people. In the midst of patience and waiting, it's so easy to get frustrated with other people that are in our way. We need to be patient with those people, but we really need to be patient with God. People are just the physical things in life that can easily take our frustrations out on those people. So be patient with God if we need to be patient with His people. Fourthly, patience endures through persecutions. Notice what was said in verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets. Okay, so James is going back to the Old Testament. Remember the prophets that warned God's people about certain things, and those prophets did not have easy lives. In fact, they went through miserable, difficult things. He says, remember those, or take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. You know, I think of Daniel, who is a prophet, and they persecuted Daniel. They threw him in the lion's den because Daniel was patient, wasn't he? He went through that, and God blessed him for his patience. There were many other prophets that were patient through adversity. I've already quoted this verse in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. You just do the right thing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Yes, some will mock. Some will tease. Some will slander. Some will lie. But you keep doing what's right. I think of Noah. And again, I don't know what people were doing to him. I don't know. But I want to tell you, he had to persevere through difficult circumstances. I mean, nobody was coming. Even if, I don't know if people mocked and jeered like everybody says, because the scriptures do not say that. But I can tell you one thing, it must have been a trying thing when he spent all those 100 years or whatever it was that he was building that ark, and then he was there, and the invitation was open, and not a person came, except for his own family. Wow. Very interesting that he was a patient person enduring those things. I think of Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, which says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Why? For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Patience endures through persecutions, tough times. People might say, come on, you said this is going to happen. And God, you say, you just wait. God is going to pull through. God is going to supply. And number 5, patience doesn't give up. Look at verse 11. Here we have the story of Job. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Patience. We think of Job and his circumstances in the Old Testament and how that man went through adversity and struggle and trial, and yet he waited. In fact, in the middle of it, what did he say? He said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I, return. But what was his end result? What did he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he went. It was a struggle. It was a trial. But he lasted. And what was the end result, which we're getting to? What was the end result? God blessed him above and beyond. I want to tell you something. But you know what? Could have Job been blessed without the trial? No, he had to go through it. He had to go through it. And then God could bless him with double animals and double family and double blessings and double riches. He could then, because he had went through the situation, he had gone through it. Take your Bibles and go back to chapter 1. Back to chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Look at the promises that are given. You see, we try so bad to get out. We don't want to have to be patient. Honestly, if I look at 2023 between me and you, I don't want to have to be patient. Wouldn't it be nice if there's not anything that happens to me in 2023 that I have to even exercise patience? Well, that would be wonderful, but it's not reality. It's probably not going to happen. There are going to be trials that come into our lives. But I shouldn't be not wanting them. I actually should be thankful for them, because they are what's going to get me to Him. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, what's it doing? It's working patience. It's getting you to trust in God. It's getting you to keep your eyes fixed upon Him. It's getting you to trust and wait and to anticipate and to look to Him and all these things that we've just gone through. That the trying of her faith worketh patience. He's producing patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What God is doing is getting ready, getting you ready for heaven. He's getting you ready for heaven. Trials, none of us like them, but we all grow through them. We need to have a right perspective, and we need to be patient. Patient. Are you a patient person? The Lord wants us to be patient. As I close, I'm reminded of the patience of the Lord. Patience with me and patience with you. You know, when I came into this earth, I was born in my sin and trespasses. You know, when I was a young child, I proved that I was a sinner and I thought that my ways were better than God's. God said certain things, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Don't do this, don't do that. And you know what? I decided to go against those things, and when I did, I decided to work my way towards hell. And do you know, if I would have gotten what I deserved, God would have immediately just took me off the face of the earth and sent me to hell. But He was patient. When God looked at Sean Madrid, He said, you know what? There, not through him, but through me, there's potential to trust in me and to be used for what I want someday. And He saw that potential. He looked to the end and He said, you know what? I'm going to be patient with him. I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to let this work. And for it, He decided to send His own Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross because He knew that I was hopeless and helpless. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross. He paid the penalty for my sins so that I could trust in Him. And I trusted in Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And since then, He has continued to be faithful and patient with me through all that I go through. Even though I have gone against Him, even though I've sinned, even though I've lied, even though I've done this and I've done that, even though I've responded wrong, even though I've said things I ought not say, looked at things I ought not look at, God has still been patient with me, and I still have an eternal home in heaven from Him. I'm so thankful that God has been patient with me. My friends, He's been patient with you as well. If you're here this morning and have never trusted in Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, today is a day to act upon the patience of God. Trust what He's given to you. If you're here this morning and you have trusted in Him, today's a day to celebrate and be thankful for the patience of God in your lives. But He wants us to be patient as well. Lord, would you help us to learn to be patient people? Help us to understand that even the whole reason why we're having to be patient is because you're doing something good in our lives. Lord, I pray that it would change the perspective on what we're going through. Lord, would you develop patience in us? Lord, we need to be patient. God, help us to have direction, a focus, an expectation. God, would you help us not to budge? God, help us not to change. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to get frustrated with others when you are doing a perfect work in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, help us that we would trust in you and endure through the persecutions of life. Help us never to give up, but to trust you. God, I pray that you would work in people's hearts and lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your